Good morning, everybody. Got a lot to cover today, so let's go ahead and hit the next slide. Anybody know who those people are? Well, that guy in the middle is Alex Kendrick, and these guys are making Christian films. Most recently, a film called War Room was a huge box office success, and there's three brothers. I believe that's Shannon to your right, and I think it's Steve to the left. But Alex Kendrick is the one that sort of the brains, if you will, and he also acts. He's an actor in the films that he makes. And so I'm going to show you a clip that helps to drive home the point that I feel like the Lord wants me to make in the message today. So let's go ahead.
It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! Five more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more!
I've got to the 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Movie called Facing the Giants. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. We're involved in a 6-week series called Never Lukewarm. And as I mentioned before, the title comes from the message that the resurrected Jesus gave to John in the book of Revelation, saying that of the 7 churches, the 7th church, which I agree with those that say that represents the end times church just before his return. The big problem with them is that they were lukewarm. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. As I've explained, it means I'm not going to let you speak for me anymore. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So the name of the series is Never Lukewarm, because we want to not be included in that group. Okay. The name of today's sermon is The Perseverance Edge. The Perseverance Edge. Edge. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the honor and privilege of sharing your word with these, your people, your brothers and sisters in the things of God. Lord Jesus, you call them friends. You call them your brothers and sisters. You said, I'll tell you who my brother and sister and mother and father are, these who do the will of God. Help us to do the will of God all the more as a result of the message and your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So throughout Scripture, God places a very high value on perseverance. So of all the things in my years of Bible school and ministry, of all the things that are really emphasized in Scripture that is talked about the least is the fact that God values greatly perseverance. He loves fighters. He wants people with that tenacity. Some examples. The story of the changing of Jacob's name to Israel, which is in Genesis 32, 22 through 32. We don't have time to go into the whole story, but the founding of Israel comes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had a brother named Esau. And Jacob stole the birthright and the blessing that would have been Esau's through trickery. And when Esau found out, Esau wanted to kill Jacob at some point. And so Jacob had to flee for his life out of the country, so to speak. But the time came when God said, okay, you're married now, Jacob, you have children and a wife, but it's time for you to go back to the promised land, the land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and now to you, to Jacob. So he's going back. But I agree with those that say God was going to keep him away from Esau. But Jacob was determined to get this over with, to be done with this feud once and for all. So he's on his way to see Esau, and of course Esau wants to kill him. And so the Bible tells a story of how an angel comes down and wrestles with Jacob. Now, I agree with those who also say probably that angel was a theophany. So in the Old Testament, there's times when God himself comes down in a form of an angel so that he could be perceived as having, eyes and so on. And so that, for example, Abraham, that happened. Well, God, I believe, came down as a theophany, and he's trying to stop Jacob because Jacob's on his way to being killed by his brother. But Jacob says no, and he's wrestling with the angel or with God. And of course, he's not strong enough to overpower this supernatural might of, and so the angel touches his hip and dislocates his hip, and he's still fighting, he's still wrestling. He will not give up. And again, I agree with those who say that God sees that Jacob is about to do this until he, Jacob, dies. And so with a smile on his face, with a smile on God's face, he says, "What's your name?" He says, "Jacob." Jacob means heel grabber, cheater, swindler. Jacob. "What's your name, Jacob?" And God says, "From now on, your name's not going to be Jacob. It's going to be Israel." Israel means prince with God. "Your name's going to be Israel, for you have prevailed both with man and with God." That's important, excuse me, because the whole history of Israel is the whole history of that. God wanted to send a message to us and to all of his posterity, to all of the Jewish people, that God highly values perseverance and that he will reward perseverance. It says in the Faith Hall of Fame in the New Testament, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, fervently seek him." So God sends us a message that he highly values perseverance through the story of how Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Here's another case. Jesus' admonition to the seven churches in Revelation, chapter 2, 1 through 3, 27, to be overcomers. It's not often talked about, but at the end of every single message to those churches, and by extension, that's a message to us, Jesus says, "They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome shall sit with me on my throne. They that overcome will receive a new name." All this stuff, they that overcome. What does the word overcome mean? It means like that clip that we just saw. That's what it means. It means engaging in a struggle until you prevail. And so Jesus is just saying the same thing that God had said through Jacob back in Genesis. Genesis. "I really value perseverance." Now, in the book of Revelation, that book was first delivered to a persecuted church. The Romans were trying to kill all the Christians, and the Jewish leaders were trying to kill the Christians. And so Jesus had good reason to say that. But that doesn't mean that we're not included. That's another example of how God greatly values perseverance. But the strongest statement by Jesus himself about the value of perseverance to God is Jesus' parable of the widow and the unjust judge in Luke 18. So we've talked about this before, a couple of years ago, I believe, but I'm going to go at it from a different angle today. So let's go ahead and look at that. Now, Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times, they, the disciples, you and me, ought to pray and to not lose heart. In other words, never give up. So this is unique because normally when Jesus tells a parable, he tells the parable, symbolic story, meant to communicate a spiritual truth. That's what a parable is. Normally he tells the parable and then his disciples say, "Tell us the meaning of the wheat and the tares," and then he tells it. But here, it's unique because we get the interpretation before Jesus even tells the parable. We get the interpretation right up front, lest there be any confusion about what it means. He's saying, "I'm going to tell you a parable, and the reason I'm going to tell you a parable is so that you will persevere in prayer and never, ever, ever, ever give up." And so he, Jesus, said, quote, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man." So in the ancient world, there were city elders, but normally the one who decided civic matters was a judge. And so the judge had rulership kinds of attributes that went along with him. And that's why in the Old Testament there's the book of Judges, because they not only were the ones that caused disputes to be settled, but they were leaders. So this is trying to tell you that this judge was a law unto himself. He didn't care what people thought. In fact, he didn't even care what God thought. He's totally a law unto himself. So in terms of his seat as a judge, he had, quote, all power. He answered to no one except himself. Quote, there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my adversary. Now let me explain that. Probably this is what was happening. And Jesus referred to this later. In those days, if a man died and left the house to the widow, unfortunately for that widow, if that man had a debt that he still owed somebody, if the person that he owed was unscrupulous and evil, he might say, you know what, old lady, I'm sorry, but your husband owed me money, therefore I'm going to take the house. And so the question was a legal question. Does this man have the right to take something from somebody who doesn't owe him any money, which is the wife, because of somebody who did, her husband? And so the only person who had the power to make that decision, to decide that question, was the judge of that town. So this widow is gone. She's banging on the chamber doors, let me in. They let her in. She's saying, judge, avenge me of my adversary. I've got this evil man trying to take from me all that I have, which is my house. But you, judge, have the power to just, with a word, make the decision so that he cannot take that house from me. You have the power to say, no, you know, she doesn't owe you anything. That house is hers. Avenge me of my adversary. That's the literal. Avenge me. So she's doing this. For a while, he was unwilling. I like that picture. But afterwards, he said to himself, you know what? This old widow woman's about to wear me out. Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, and Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. So the key to this parable is what the judge said. Now, will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. So that word quickly can also mean suddenly. And it makes more sense that it means quickly after a time. So is he going to delay long, cry out to him day and night? I tell you what, suddenly they'll get what they need. However, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus is saying something very important. He's saying, I know how people are. They're not tenacious. They tend not to have perseverance. They tend to settle. By the way, as an aside, that's why I always tell you, and I sincerely believe, that Jesus really never gave us permission. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood, because when we pray many times, we say, Lord, if it's your will, please do this and such. What I always say is, it goes without saying he's going to do what his will is. But Jesus said to be like this widow. The widow didn't go to the judge and say, oh, judge, if it's your will, avenge me of my adversary. Why? Because Jesus loves us. He's saying, look, I know that you human beings cannot see into the spiritual world. And there's a spiritual war going on back there. And I know you can't see it, so I'm going to do you all a favor. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a command to always assume that if you stay at it and you persevere, you'll win. Just assume that. Just assume it. And then you don't have to see into the spiritual world. That's really what he did. Question. What was Jesus saying beyond showing us that, quote, at all times we ought to pray and not to lose heart? Answer. It's not that God can be worn out. That's not what he was saying. It is that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, point is we don't know when. Sometimes there are tipping points in the spiritual world that we cannot see. I mean, Liz Gray gave a great message a couple weeks ago about what's called praying through. Well, the idea of praying through is nothing more than it's the same as what I'm saying. Jesus is saying, look, you all can't see into the spiritual world, but sometimes there's tipping points in the spiritual world that you can't see. Because of this, we need to have a perseverance edge to our Christian mindset so that we can pray until we see the breakthrough that will bring God's power. If we don't have a perseverance mentality, we won't pray. Oh, we'll pray a little. Well, it must not be God's will. Well, you don't know that. I don't know that. What I always say is, you know what? Let him tell you on the other side that it was his will. For now, he's telling you to do this. Today, there is a tipping point that's largely unnoticed that American Christians need to be fervently praying for. So I hope you're awake. God spoke this to me over the week, during the week, and I just couldn't, just like came to me like, I thought, oh my goodness. So if you want to understand what's going on in the United States of America today in a big portion of what's going on in what's called the culture wars, then buckle your seatbelts, okay? Here we go. That is another movie that the Kendrick brothers did called Overcomer. Instead of focusing on men's sports, this movie focuses on women's sports, actually long distance running, and it stars, I believe that's Priscilla Shirer's part of this movie. She's actually quite a powerful Bible teacher, actually. And it's focusing on women's sports, long distance running. Okay. So here's the point. Sports programs in general model for us the high value that coaches place upon perseverance. So anybody that's been involved in sports or anybody who has watched sports on TV automatically understands the high value that coaches place upon perseverance, like the movie clip that we just saw. This serves as a lifelong lesson that teaches the high value that God, not the coach, but God, also places upon perseverance. So if you're in an athletic program, you get it. You don't need my sermon. You just look at your coach, the high value of perseverance. We have entered the end times prophetic season of Eve's revenge. Again, I don't have time to explain all of it, but I encourage you to read the book I wrote, which by the grace of God was published. It's called Prophetic Patriotism. And part of that book, it tells about how we're in the time when God is going to allow Eve's revenge, when women are going to be empowered, because the Antichrist, which is a world ruler that's predicted in the Bible, there are certain things that indicate that he will especially hate women, that women will be especially effective against him, that he'll have no use for women, he'll hate women. Not because he's not heterosexual, because he hates women, because of what we're going to talk about. So we have entered the prophetic season of Eve's revenge. God will be greatly empowering women to do exploits for his kingdom. He's already doing it now. Women's athletic programs are an important part of God's plan for Eve's revenge. Let me say that again. Women's athletic programs are an important part of God's plan for Eve's revenge. Why? Because by them, by women's athletic programs, he will raise up leaders with a perseverance edge to their faith that they developed in sports. That is why Satan has declared all-out war on women's sports in our country. And this is biblical that we know this strategy, because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of his devices, which means his strategies. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom into what Satan's doing and why. So I'm not saying something out of the sky. Here's the strategy. We just read, we are not ignorant of Satan's strategies. Here's the strategy that the enemy is employing. Number one, deceive and encourage men who identify as women to demand the right to compete unfairly. That's one. Two, eliminate all norms for teamwork, the awarding of scholarships, and the setting of records, resulting in chaos and a distrust for the entire system, where women who have natural-born leadership qualities in them, who are considering seriously getting into sports, are going to say, you know what? To hell with it. It's rigged. It's not fair. It's not worth it. I'm not even going to do it. I'm not even going to go there. That's the plan. It's a mess. But you could set some records. What? And then have it broken by somebody who identifies? No, I'm not even going to do it. I'm not even going to try. Number three, remove women's sports as a viable training ground for godly overcoming women. That's the goal of Satan. Remove women's sports in America as a viable training ground for godly overcoming women. This is no time for American Christians to be lukewarm. I believe that the subject that I'm talking about today really does go a long way to explaining why we're seeing what we're seeing in the whole trans movement thing. It's all about women's leaders, eliminating them ahead of time. We're going to be praying later on. We're going to be praying. We need to take this to heart, everything we've talked about, and pray like the widow until a breakthrough comes for our nation and for all of those whom Satan has deceived. So let's do that right now. Father, you were very clear in what you intend. Lord Jesus, you said to pray for those who are against us. So we start this prayer. Lord, we lift up and bring to you all of those who hate you, who hate what you stand for, and who are involved aggressively in the trans movement, either directly or by political influence. We forgive them. We forgive them. And we ask that you would forgive them, because we know in your heart you have already identified within that group, that trans group, you have identified those who will be champions for Jesus if they hear the gospel. And so we say yes to that. We say no to Satan. We stand on your word. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we first of all pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that the stronghold over all of these whom he has deceived, in the name of Jesus Christ, is broken. It is broken. We bind the strong man. In Jesus' name, we command the enemy to leave them alone. We speak over all of these people the will of God. Many of them who believe that in their childhood God had spoken to them, but they've gone astray, even as we heard this morning. In Jesus' name, we speak victory over all of these who have been deceived. Just as even Saul was deceived, became a champion, we identify and we speak to the champions among the enemy's people. And we say, come forth and join the team. We forgive you and we love you in Jesus' name. And we speak in Jesus' name against the enemy's plan. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are bound. The United States of America has a calling that shall not be stopped. God is not mocked. God's purposes shall be fulfilled. The United States shall lead the way in the gospel across the world, and women shall be empowered in our time. Eve's revenge will be complete and total and devastating against the enemy in our time. We speak to any of the women listening who are here in this room. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Be empowered in Jesus' name. Go forth in Jesus' name. He's got your back. You have more in you than you thought. And never, ever give up. Persevere. Be an overcomer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And lastly, Lord, we pray that you would bring this issue to our minds often as we go forward, even from this place today, that you would cause us, Father, to intercede and bind and loose in Jesus' name so that victory will prevail. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus ended his parable with a question, quote, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Let's hope that he will, both in the heart of you and me and in the national life of the United States of America. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even if you are involved in the trans movement, this is your moment. It's not an accident that you're hearing this or that you're in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim your soul for the kingdom. We claim your soul for the kingdom. Somebody watching, it feels like that you really just hate God and that you're entertaining the trans thing as revenge against God. I'm sorry, your arm's too short to box with God. And he loves you, and he made you for a purpose. So please just come to yourself in this moment. Just do what I did. I was in rebellion. I was writing a rock opera about the son of the devil, and God got a hold of me. God can get a hold of you. Just do what I did years ago. Just say, Jesus, I give up. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I believe you have a plan and a purpose for my life. I believe that you died on the cross to shed your blood, and that that blood is payment for all the sins I've ever committed, that I am committing or ever will. That you died to take the punishment I deserve. The punishment I deserve. You took that punishment so that I would not be judged in the day of judgment. I'm so sorry that I rebelled against you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior and my coach, because I know you can get more out of me than I can get out of myself. Come into my heart, live your life through me, and I'll do the best I can to live for you and serve you by your Holy Spirit living inside of me for all the days of my life. And I thank you, and I speak that name above every name in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.